I'm here.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good afternoon and welcome to Bigfoot and Company. This is Dr. John, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It's good to be with everyone today. It's a beautiful day here in Myrtle Beach. It's a beautiful day across the Southeast. We've, of course, our expert Bigfoot explorer, Matt Delf. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain, I guess.
Well, that's great. We were talking a little bit earlier about, and Matt said, well, you can't really call me an expert. And I said, Dr. John can call you an expert if Dr. John thinks you are an expert. So you're our expert Bigfoot hunter. So we're glad to have you here today. And you've recently been out in the woods, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't do a whole lot, though, because of the had bad storms. Couldn't really get out and do nothing. So. Not a lot of activity. Wasn't an exciting weekend, as you could say.
Yeah, well, let me ask you something about that before we introduce our guest. We have stretches in Myrtle Beach where it is just deathly hot. It is like in the high 90s, low 100s, no rain, no afternoon thunder showers or anything. Does weather like that, the very hot, very dry weather, does it bring much activity when you're out there hunting in general? What do you find on the hot, dry days, like, you know, when you're having a week of really hot weather?
It makes it more, you got to change your time schedule, I think, more towards, you know, the evening at dusk and your early morning hours are usually your most active during that kind of thing, like from 3 in the morning till daybreak, and then I found a lot of activity towards dusk. And like I said, early morning, during the morning to say, you know, till sun comes up and stuff, is I've noticed a lot of activity around that time during the hot summer days.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just wondering because, I mean, Bigfoot has got to be like us. They just really don't like super hot weather, I would be guessing. But so I'm glad to know that you kind of corroborated that, and that through the evening hours, the dusk, and early morning. I'd put an extra early on that one, 3 till about 7. But anyway, thank you for that insight.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. Well, today we have a new friend joining us, Tim Sullivan from the beautiful state of Georgia. Tim, how are you doing today?
Doing good, standing in Georgia sun at the moment. How are you?
It's hot down there. I'm doing great. It's hot down there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's high 90s for the last, well, every day, but all sun, and it's been raining a lot.
Oh, that's good. At least you've been getting a lot of rain and some precipitation, so that's good. So now you are a friend of ours by way of our buddy Robin McCray. And you need to talk to Tim. He's a great guy. And so I believe what Robin says. She's a very, very nice lady. And you are in that area of people that I would call Bigfoot experiencers. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the things you have experienced with Bigfoot, and we're going to have a great time talking to you today on Bigfoot and Company.
Well, I guess it would depend where you want to go with the experiencer. For almost 5 years was going to similar locations and earned the trust. And so what I mean with earn the trust, I earned the right for them to sometimes interact.
Okay, yeah, tell us some of those stories. That sounds very, very interesting.
Well, I would go start in the beginning of something was stealing my bird seed every night at my house. So, and they were eating like the entire bird seed and not one on the ground. So I was trying to figure out what was doing it because there was no tracks, no nothing. And I got screamed at, and that's what and the blood-curdling scream when I walked out at like 10 p.m. at night to let my dog out. And because of that scream, like 3 months later after that, I was, you know, trying to figure out what did it. And then, you know, I just looked into every possible scenario of what could have screamed at me so loud. And that led
well,
me...
Let me ask you this. Describe a little bit about where you lived. Were you in the city, in the suburbs, or kind of out in the country? Were many houses around? Were you near a forested area? Tell us, describe a little bit about the area where you lived, if you don't mind.
Okay, this was in Ohio, and I was on the border of the national park. So, a national forest, rather. So, a national forest, the Emerald Necklace that goes around Cleveland, Ohio. It's a pretty much large area of a park system, and that's where I was located.
Wow. Okay, now your house, was it in a wooded area, or was it in a development, or what kind of area was it in?
It was, I had a lot of fruit trees, that helps, and then, it was in a wooded area, you know, that bordered a really good area of parks, park system. So I would call it, it was moderate woods, you know, a lot of trees, you know, rained all the time.
Okay.
That's how I would describe it.
All right. Well, that's, rain, at least you're getting some rain. I know that here in Myrtle Beach, it's pretty spotty right now, and so maybe we don't have a large collection of Bigfoot around here to interact with, but that's great. So now, what are some of the things that you did other than you had bird seed out, and you say that they took your bird seed? What are some of the other things that you noticed and the scream? Did you hear any knocks, or what else did you get?
Well, I mean, there was pretty much nothing for 3 months, and then I started looking on YouTube to learn how to do what I was going to do, which was, you know, figure out where the locations were of possible Bigfoot. So, I mean, I looked at the BFRO website and just started doing my own research. And, I mean, when I did get close, when I finally got close to where they actually were, a couple trees were knocked down near me and some screams. So I had trees knocked down within 50 yards of me in the middle of the forest.
Now, how big were these trees?
Well, they were big trees. You know, I mean, they weren't like fresh new trees, but they were dying trees that were knocked over and there was no explanation, no wind. You know, and the month was like September of the year. So that's when that was going down.
Okay.
And there's more. I mean, of course, there was tree knocks and whoops and just things I'd never even heard of. I never even heard of what a whoop was. And I got whooped at. And this was all daytime experience.
Wow. Matt, that makes it pretty special when it's done in the daytime, doesn't it?
Well, not really. I mean, they usually move around at night a lot, but they do daytime activity just as well. I've had quite a few encounters. It was during the daytime, actually, in the afternoon, around 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I've had activity. It just depends, I guess, you know, what they're doing at the time or whatever. Now, these trees you talked about that were knocked down, Were they positioned anyway, or was they just pushed over? Were you out there when they pushed them over, or did you just happen to come across them out in the woods?
No, I was out there, and they got pushed over while I was there, and it was usually with a scream to go with it. So
that was a warning, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, I was new to it. I didn't know any better, and all I did, you know, that just made me know that I was on the right spot. But, you know, of course,
yeah.
I backed out, but I was new to it. I didn't have any experience, and I didn't read any books about it, so I just went ahead and did it.
That was a warning sign. It was showing
strength. Yeah, that's warning.
Yeah,
that's warning. I understand that now.
You got to find out the hard way, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
So what? So just go ahead and continue. What?
Well, so what else besides that? So in other words, I was filming, and I would have my camera out, and I always did that. And then I realized that I was going to put the camera away, and nothing ever happened with the camera in hand. So I gave up on the cameras and had more interaction without the cameras, without trying to record anything. So I would call that. That was more successful than trying to film them. And lots of
right.
Every... Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, from what I've heard, filming is so many times unsuccessful, even when you think you got a great clear shot. I mean, I know of only one clear photograph of a Bigfoot, and I actually have a copy of it. But there's only one picture that I've ever heard of that has been clear. So, yeah.
I got one by accident, but that's it. And it wasn't clear. But I wasn't trying to film them, and they were in the background. So I got one out of hours and hours of filming.
I think you and I found mine in a book. And it was found online, and it's been verified. Jen Cruz of the She Squatchers verified it was definitely a Bigfoot. Matt, you're gonna love this. This is actually in Mary Joyce's book, The Cherokee Little People, and she actually has a picture of a Bigfoot in that book. Yeah, and I cherish that book. I'll make you a copy of it. I think it's out of print. But, Matt, I will make you a copy of that page. Maybe we can get Mary Joyce to sign them at the upcoming Georgia Bigfoot College. Oh, she's a hoot. I like that lady. You know what? She works hard reporting, and I really appreciate what she does. And she was surprised. She didn't realize when she published that book, The Cherokee Little People, that – found a picture that is beyond compare. And I was talking to her about it, and she said, oh, well, I just found it online. It was from California. I said, well, you know, what you got is beyond compare. And I was given a copy of that book. I'm not going to say by whom, but I was given a copy of the book. I've got it right here. I keep it with me at all times. And so, Matt, I'll make sure you have a copy of that. I don't think Mary Joyce will mind. We can get her to actually autograph that for us. But yeah, you know, pictures of any types of cryptids. Like, I have a friend, and I'm not going to say who he is, but he's a well-known cryptid researcher. Matt, you probably know him. We'll talk offline about this. But every picture that he's got of a Bigfoot or an anomalous creature or even what he believes is Lizard Man is always fuzzy. And that tends to coincide with what several folks have told me, that these beings are not, they're not human, and they do have an element of radiation about them. Now, Matt, have you heard that? that the cryptids and Bigfoot seem to have a little bit of radiation about them. And number one, and number two, have you ever had a Geiger counter with you when you've been trying to explore for Bigfoot? I've got a two-prong question for you. Then I've got a question. Then I've got a question for Tim. All right, Matt, you're on the hot seat here on Bigfoot and Company.
Okay. Yeah, I have actually had I've had experience. I'm not gonna say with who and stuff, but we've had some high tech equipment out there, and yes, we've had that, and you can get definitely readings off of it. I've seen some clear pictures of Bigfoot that are clear as me or you. Seen some not too long ago, actually. And I can't say who or what because it's, you know, but.
Yeah, Matt, it's just like me. I can't exactly tell it. I know what you mean. Yep.
But because I'm doing a lot of classified work right now. But the whole fuzzy picture thing, a lot of that,
yep.
I mean, I don't think it's just where it's. I think a lot of your good pictures are covered up. A lot of them are taken away, if you know what I mean. If somebody does have something good, then, you know, it is taken away. A lot of your blurry pictures, I think, are from people trying to get a picture and it's moving. Like you said, it's a high energy source. They're high energy source. So, yeah, that could have a lot of effect to it. But I've seen some crystal clear pictures, too, but it can't go out public. If it does, then it's going to be taken down. It's going to be, you know, I guess you could say it takes a lot, though, to get a good, clear picture like that because, like he was talking about with the cameras, you're not going to get, once they know that's out there, they got that sixth sense. They know what's going on. They know what you're trying to do, and they don't like it. And you're not going to have a whole lot of luck if you're out there walking around with just a camera trying to get one close up. But I've seen some high-tech equipment get some nice pictures. Nice.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and ask you just a little bit of descriptive information. Would we estimate 8 to 10 feet tall?
Yeah, the pictures I've seen was from at least 6 to, I wouldn't say quite say 10 feet, but I'd say in between 6 to 8.5 feet tall.
Okay. All right. And then my next question is width. Because, I mean, I think most of us, I'm looking at me, I'm kind of a fat guy, but not that fat. I mean, I think I'm maybe around 2 feet wide, 2.5 feet wide. Would you estimate approximately the shoulder width might be around 3 to 4 feet wide?
Yeah, definitely. Some of them are lankier than others. Some of them not as broad, but for the most part, they are pretty broad and wide. A lot of them aren't heavy. They're kind of, some of them are skinny. It's just like a person in a way. But yeah, they usually, not a long neck or nothing like that, usually a short neck. Face, you got different types of faces. They look like gorilla type. A little bit of variation depends on the area, the species. Just kind of like a dog, I believe. You got a dog, and then you got different types of breeds of dogs. Same way with Bigfoot, from what I've seen. You've got
same thing with people.
Even exactly.
I mean, people, all people look different. They really do. Just no two people are alike, and that's what I was always hypothesizing. Now, Tim, have you actually seen full frontal Bigfoot?
A full what?
A full frontal image of Bigfoot, where you saw the front and the face. Would you estimate 6 to 8 feet tall and maybe 3 to 4 feet wide, or what would the dimensions of the Bigfoot that you have seen be, if you don't mind answering that question?
Well, the one that I saw the first time was not as big. It was a female. She had boobs at six
okay.
feet tall, approximately. So 6 feet tall, and I'm guessing, you know, no bigger than as big as a man, a regular man, but not so big
yeah.
As some of the others. And that was in Ohio. But so she had like 1-inch fur, thick dark fur, and fur on the face, just covering the entire face.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Matt, please.
I was gonna say, yeah, you've got different types of salsa. Some of the hair goes all the way up to the eyes. Ones that I've seen that look more gorilla type in the face, less hair on the face, but the black face, the flatter nose, it would remind you of like a half human, half gorilla in the face. But there are different types where the hair goes all the way up to the eyes. It's just like any person, you got hairy people and not so hairy people.
Exactly. Now, Tim, you said the first one that you saw, how many others have you seen? I mean, can you give us a count for the number that you've actually seen?
I'm up to four. So four where, you know, lots and lots of encounters, like lots and lots of interaction with only four sightings. So...
Okay, well, that's great. Now, what describe some of the interactions that you've had with them?
Well, the interaction, I'll give the latest one, was in January in Salt Fork, Ohio. So the big state park that's so well known for Bigfooting. And by the way, they have a whole Bigfoot gift shop there, if you haven't been there. I'm sure some of you have and some of you haven't. So it's widely accepted there. I had a thermal, so I was looking through the viewfinder just a little ways into the woods. He was 50 approximately... like 30 yards away, and filled the viewfinder completely on the thermal. So he was
wow.
as wide as a house. So in other words, he was is the biggest and widest, I'm guessing 12 to 15 feet tall, and is about as wide as a 3-seater couch. So really wide and unbelievable. I mean, just it's really unbelievable. Even to me, I was petrified just because I couldn't believe the size. And
wow.
And they called back to me. I called out to them. They called back to me. There was, you know, one on each side of the ground behind another tree with their hands around the tree. So there was actually three of them that I know of. And, I mean, nothing else happened. It was just, you know, it was a friendly encounter. And then I left because I figured that was enough. you know, I don't want to push it on King Kong, and I would call him the King Kong of Salt Fork.
Now, are you located in Georgia now?
What I do, I go to Ohio a lot, but yes, I'm located in
okay.
Georgia. And so Georgia's much different. They're a lot less forward, and you really got to work here to get, I mean, it's just nowhere near as interactive so far And I've had stuff happen, but nowhere near like Ohio.
Now, Ohio, you got a different type, I believe. A little bit more active or whatever. But right now in Georgia, the northern part of the state is a hotbed. Oh, my gosh. I've been there quite a bit here in the past few months. And I got some good friends up there in northern Georgia. And we've had quite a bit of activity up there in northern Georgia. Where do you live at in, say, Georgia? Like, just approximately the southern part, middle part, northern part? You don't have to give an exact city or anything like that, but...
So I agree with you on northern Georgia. I was just there this last weekend. It's way more active and way more like Ohio. But I'm in southeast Georgia, and they're, to me, if I had to guess, they're smaller here, and they're way more timid. But that's a guess. I'm going off of the size of prints that I found in southeast Georgia are much smaller than what I was finding in Ohio.
Well, I mean, a lot of goes into factor with that too. You know, what age this thing is, what type, you know. How long have you been doing this?
Almost 5 years.
Okay.
Of dedication.
So like I've been doing it for, I don't know, right around 20 plus years, but I've come to a point to where I've had to change up my approach and everything, because I was coming up to issues where I'd follow a set of tracks and they just disappear. We would have, you know, just weird stuff that happens. Now, do you believe these animals? Like I said, I had to open up my mind. I used to believe that they were flesh and blood only. And now, the longer I've done it, I've noticed they've got some abilities that we don't really have. Have you experienced anything of the supernatural side?
My answer to that is I'm going off of all the clues that they've given me, like a trail of breadcrumbs. And so to analyze it like a police officer, they definitely have some abilities that you just cannot explain. And I don't know how to describe, like, their intuitive abilities are way greater than our intuitive abilities.
Well, I tell you what, Tim, I want to interject something. Now, this is what I tell people, because I'm, you know, I talk about Bigfoot all the time. And I tell people that they simply have access to better technology than we have. I know that in 1900, if you'd have said we can talk across halfway across the world at will, people would have looked at you like you were crazy. Today we have a cell phone. And I believe they simply are more advanced than we are, and they have better technology than we do. I was talking at the Spruce Pine, the Space Expo, about 10 days ago, and I said, if you look at technology-wise, you may think that they're primitive out there in the woods, but no, they're not. We, as humans, are probably a 2 on a 1 to 10 scale. Maybe a 2.1 or 2.2. We're very primitive. We drive around in cars. They flop around in portals and all this stuff. So I think Bigfoot is highly developed, highly advanced, and that's why, number one, we have a problem seeing them and everything. But I think that the reality is, and Matt, I'd love for both of you to comment on this. I think they are just far more advanced than we are. And I know a lot of people don't like it. I got some grumblings up there. I said, well, you know, I'm at an alien conference. I'm at a UFO conference, but I said Bigfoot is far more advanced than we are. I'm going to start with Tim first, and then I'll go with Matt. Tim, what do you think about my comment?
what I can say is, and this is, so they've been right next to me, growling or chest thumping, and there's nothing there. It's like I've had them rip something out of my hand with nobody there, and it's almost, you'd almost go into a paranormal thing where you'd think a ghost did it, but it wasn't a ghost. It's a growling, rumbling, you know, powerful lung right next to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if that helps, I can't explain how they're, you don't even hear them breathing or standing next to you. And so it's a possibility of what you're referring to with portals. How we can describe it, I don't know. So I agree with you, I don't think anyone has the exact answer to that question.
Okay, well, I was just specifying an opinion. So, all right, Matt, what do you think?
All right, this is where my advanced research has led me to the whole quantum physics. It gets a lot more difficult than just an animal and typical research with, you know, you got to learn your animals anyhow. That's step one. You got to learn everything that's out in the wildlife. One, for your safety, and two, for so you can identify what's Sasquatch related and what isn't. But the whole Bigfoot as a picture now, I'm at a level now where we're talking portals, and all this stuff can be proved scientifically if you go through with the energy, you know, just the different aspects of it. These are high energy beings. They have a sixth sense. It's like if we get a gut feeling about something, to them, that's an everyday thing. They don't even think nothing of it, you know. I've had, you know, where he's talking about, you know, where you can't even see them. The whole trick to bending light. These beings are so much more advanced. They know how to use it. It all comes to your mind. They know how to use more of their mind. That sixth sense is everyday thing for them. We've all got the capability of doing this stuff, but they know, they use it daily like it's nothing. We've been programmed to look at one way since we're growing up till today and still doing it. The government's got us believing this, that. They got our brains programmed one way. You have to start looking outside the box for these things. They are a lot more advanced. I've seen stuff that you talk about portals, stuff like that. I've seen stuff that the naked eye can't see. You got to look through equipment to see it. And it's all because of energy, the different temperatures, the different, you know, everything, the ley lines, like we talk about the ley lines, high energy points. They use all this. They know how to use everything. And we're not that advanced because our brain has been programmed one way and we don't know how to expand it and look outside the box. I don't know if that kind of answers your question or not. But yeah, they're definitely more energy. They just, but to them, they weren't brought up like we were, you know. So I think that's got a lot to do with it, with the people being zapped, stuff like that, you know, using infrasound. They've got all these abilities that people just, the normal mind, there's things out there the normal mind won't comprehend until you get out there and start experiencing it and seeing it. And it's very real, very real. I've experienced it. I've seen it. They're definitely a higher being. You know, I think we might have some hybrids of these things with alien interaction. I mean, you got alien, you know, UFO crash sites, stuff like that, but a lot of Bigfoot activity around it. Now, is it the energy from these aliens that bring them to that area, or are they associated with the aliens? You've got all kinds of stuff. I've had equipment that has gone dead, has gone crazy because of the energy of these things being around. You've got so much stuff to factor in. It's all quantum physics. It's a higher level of research. You got a lot of these people go out there and go, well, we're going to prove it to the world. We're going to get this Bigfoot, and we're going to prove it to everybody, and we're going to be rich. That ain't going to happen. The government knows it's out there. Any type of evidence you got, they will take down. They don't want everybody to know. It's just not going to happen. You know, I laugh when these people talk about how they're going to prove Bigfoot's real. People, and now this is what really makes me laugh, is when these people that are Bigfoot researchers or hunters, whatever you want to call it, whenever you talk about the woo side of it, they laugh and they make fun. They're like, no, it's just, you know, this or that. It shows their level. They've already experienced it. They've actually seen a Bigfoot. They've already been shown something that wasn't supposed to be here. So that should have opened their mind to everything. You know, what else is out there? And there's a lot more out there than just Bigfoot. You've got to expand your thinking. You've got to think outside that box.
Well, you know, Matt, I'm going to jump in here.
That made it.
It does to me, and I've got to jump in here, and I'm going to be a bad guy. And I apologize, but sometimes Dr. John has to be a bad guy. Number one, anyone that uses the term woo is a fool. And I would like to for them to call me, and I will explain to them why they are a fool. Number two, it was really funny that, like, on the news about 2 months ago, scientists now believe, I loved it, scientists now believe UFOs may be real. Well, now, today, I saw an article. I used to be a research associate. When I was getting my doctorate at North Carolina State, I saw an article from the Ryan Research Institute today, John Kruth, saying, we have evidence of psychokinesis. Now, if John Kruth is publishing a statement like that in 2019, that is the most foolish thing I've ever heard, because we've known about psychokinesis since the early 50s. And before. And these so-called institutions that want to say, oh, we've just now found out about it or proved it, they're on the tail end of what's really going on in terms of research. And I'll say that directly to you, John Kruth, and the Ryan Institute. I will say that directly to you. I will say that directly to you, all those scientists that just said, oh, well, we think UFOs are real. I mean, Matt, I think you understand my frustration with these institutions that are just now catching up to the truth from 50, hundreds, and thousands of years ago. Please agree. I hope you agree with me, Matt.
I do, but, you know, they've known about it, but now they're just saying, well, we might know something. I think it's because a lot more info's coming out. And so they got to try and lean like there might be something to it that they actually, instead of just flat coming out saying, okay, we've lied to you for all these years. But like I said, that's where they develop your brain to go a certain way. Then you got some people that, for example, like us, we don't believe everything we're told. We go off experience and think for ourselves.
I know what you mean.
Think for ourselves. So since we think for ourselves, we're a danger to them. They're like, oh, you know, these people are actually learning stuff and experience stuff.
Well,
and there are more people doing that. So they've got them out slowly, I think.
I mean, I doubt if I'm a danger to the Ryan Institute, and I doubt if I'm a danger to these so-called scientists that are National Science Foundation funded, and they want nothing to do with this. I'm not a danger to them, because you and I, Matt, you're in one field. You're directly in Bigfoot. I am in more the paranormal area of, you know, kind of like the combination of UFOs, Bigfoot, and the next dimension, you know. You and I have similar research interests, but they vary. But you know what? We're not a danger to them, because they obviously, they don't know what they're doing. I'm sorry. I'm being a bad guy. Would you forgive me? As long as you forgive me, I don't care if they forgive me or not.
But see, but, I have my whole Bigfoot research has started as Bigfoot, but now it's opened up to the UFO and to the paranormal because it's all linked. It's all linked.
Well, it is. And what I can tell everybody is there is a documentary that I am producing called Paranormal Raven County, and it is going to blow the top off of all of this. And it will be out in September. And it will be available for view, of course, at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. Now, Tim, I'm sorry, Matt and I are buddies, and we sometimes don't get a chance to talk a lot because we're both busy. And so I hope you'll forgive me and Matt for just having one of our standard conversations. What do you think about all this stuff we're talking about?
Well, I fully agree with Matt that if you have any evidence that's real, it's going to be taken away. So that's anyone can forget DNA, forget the body, forget all that, forget a real good picture, forget everything, because if you bring anything forward, it's going to go it's going to go 2 feet and get snatched from you.
That's what we're proving.
We're not going to prove it. It's never going to happen. If they wanted to prove it, they could do it. They already know. So they have teams working on this. They don't need to prove it. And, you know, it does get dangerous. So I'll say that if you're going out at night and you encounter something you shouldn't, it's probably really dangerous to go out at night unless you are on your own property, pretty much. It's a dangerous world. So I think that people, if they're going to find out about it, they're better off daytime. Anyone can do it. It's not rocket science. And get out and experience for themselves.
Well, now, Tim, I'm going to disagree with you in a bit of a funny way. We are talking about things that are far different and far more complicated than rocket science. So I want to be the first person in the world to say that the Bigfoot problem, the paranormal problem, is a huge step over rocket science. So we are more than a rocket scientist here. Okay, I'm sorry. But you gave me a time that I could actually say that. So thank you.
I'm gonna throw in that I've been to Gettysburg many times over. And you can't do anything in Gettysburg. You can't do anything in Gettysburg without getting stopped by the police or another agency in the middle of the night. I've never had a time. They are so concerned with what's going on there. If you have any electronic equipment, like what Matt was talking about, all the sophisticated stuff, you could potentially get your stuff taken from you. They're really aware of something, and they're really worried about
it. Okay. All right, now, Tim, I want to ask you a question, and I think it's perfect that you mentioned Gettysburg. I have a very good friend named Ed Schoenberg, and he lives up there, and he's been on Scarycast a couple of times. I want to hook you and me and Ed up, and I'd like for us to all go up there. And I got one more friend that I want to bring, and I'd like for all of us to go up there to Gettysburg. It is just he's been up there hundreds of times. I think he lives 20 miles from Gettysburg. So I'm going to talk to you about this after the show, offline, as we say, or after the show. I'd love to go up there with you. Matt, you're welcome to go, of course. You're welcome to go anywhere I go. But, yeah, let's do a field trip up to Gettysburg before I head out to the most dangerous spot in the universe, which is Mount Shasta. And I hope I get back.
Why is Mount Shasta the most dangerous? But yes, on Gettysburg, but what about Mount Shasta?
Mount Shasta has probably more portals, and you really can walk into one and never come back. They're permanent portals, and I've got a friend out there, Brett Leader. He is the king of Mount Shasta. I've got his videos. He sent them to me. He's going to be on Scarycast. He's going to do a two-hour special after the 4th of July, and that may be, in North America, the most dangerous spot in the world. So, Gettysburg might be pretty close, I tell you what. We've got Well, we're very fortunate, those of us that investigate the paranormal. We've got some really cool places to go. And, of course, I am partial to Rabun County, Georgia. There's a lot of stuff. You'll see it in Paranormal Rabun County. That will be out in September, and it's going to be a blast. So anyway, yeah, that's great. Yeah, and definitely I want to bring you up to Gettysburg with us. I think we're going to have a good time on that. And then I've got one other spot that is really, really not something people want to talk about, and I'm going to take some people there next year as well. So anyway, yeah, that's great. Now, I tell you what, we're getting a little close to quitting time here. I would like for all of us to make wrap-up comments, and I mean, you can take some time. I always try to do this early so that we have time to wrap up with everything. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start in the following order. Matt, you know I like to pick on you. So I'm going to let Matt wrap up first, comments, and we can comment on him. And then Tim, I'll let you wrap up, and then crazy Dr. John, who might not be so crazy, will wrap up third. Matt Delf, how would you like to wrap up and summarize what we've talked about and give us some insights?
Well, it's just basically you get to a certain point, if it's Bigfoot or whatever you're searching, and it's,
yep,
you know, any type of cryptid, it's all related. You talk about the paranormal, stuff like that. On this whole research, you cannot look inside the box. You have got to look outside the box. You have got to be open to everything. The portals, usually where there's smoke, there's fire. You've got, you know, people with mind speak and all this other stuff, you know. And it's like the whole remote viewing and stuff, you know. Everybody thinks, oh, these people are crazy. The military trained people to do this, you know. I know lots of people that can do it. There's such a higher level, and it gets higher, and it's more than what the, you know, there's things out there that just the normal mind, like I said, can't comprehend. It's a higher level. You just got to be open. In this field of research, you start out at one point, and then the longer you do it, the more you do it, it keeps getting wider and wider and wider. So whenever you're out doing this stuff, you just, and like he said, you know, these things are not all nice and friendly. Like a lot of people want to think and believe, there's some pretty rough Bigfoot or whatever you're dealing with out there. There's some mean ones too, and they, you know, they will do you harm. You've got to be careful, very careful. But just keep an open mind on all this. Whenever you're out there researching, you know, anything is possible. And I've seen it, I've experienced it, things believing, and you just got to keep at it. For me, it's a passion, it's a personal issue from my very first encounter. And I had to have that very first personal encounter to open my mind, to break it out of that mold like everybody else has got that tunnel vision. It had to break me out of that to look at everything. Had to traumatize me. But just to wrap it up, just keep an open mind when you're doing this. Anything's possible.
Absolutely. Tim, what have you got to say? What would you like to close with?
I guess if someone's listening to this and they made it this long.
By the way, they do, Tim. We have probably over 60% of the people that listen to this podcast all the way to the end.
That's great. So what I'd like to say would be follow the tree structures. And that's because it's really not talked about. But if you follow, and it's not talked about on purpose because it leads to where they're at. And pretty much I never hear people talk about it. And the tree structures matter. It's like a roadmap for where they're at. It's where you got teepees or different types of structures, different types of X's, tree leans, you name it, every type of ground glyphs, everything under the sun that they do to mark their areas. And they with rocks also. So you follow those structures, you'll find other beings, that and besides Bigfoot, whatever else is there. And of course, like Matt said, it's dangerous. Be careful. There's never a guarantee when you're out there alone in the middle of nowhere.
Boy, you're 100% right there. You really are. So yeah, be careful when you get out there. It's tough. Well, thanks for that insight. And here's what I'll tell you. This was I had an interesting conversation. I'm out on the boardwalk in Myrtle Beach. We're doing caricatures every summer. And I met a couple. They were from West Virginia. And I happened to mention Scary Cast. I happened to mention Bigfoot and Company. And the guy told me a story. He said, the first thing he said was, I have learned never to mess with a Ouija board. I said, well, yeah. I said, what's your story? He said, well, you know, we were in this old house and we were about 15 years old and we brought a Ouija board. And it then became apparent that none of us were directing the answers. And a bowling ball happened to be on a table in this old house. And for some reason, it rolled off the table, dropped on the floor. It got near us. It raised itself about 2 feet from the floor and crashed into the floor and went down into the basement. At that moment, we decided we did not need to be there. So there are things out there that are dangerous. There are things out there that are good. But please be careful. I can't stress that enough. I think all three of us have said this. You got to be careful with what you do. And I'm the first person to say I carry a Bible. I've got my Bible right here with me. And I carry it with me wherever I go because you do not know what you're going to encounter when you're exploring what the National Science Foundation people will not explore, which is the paranormal. And that's what I've got to say. So, gentlemen, it's been a lot of fun today on Bigfoot and Company. We talked about Bigfoot. We talked about paranormal. We've talked about the dangers. So, Matt, what have you got to plug? What have you got coming up?
Right now, I'm just going to do some field research for probably month of July here. But until, you know, I've pretty much just got a month of really nothing going on but research. I've got, then after that, you know, we've got quite a few conferences coming up. But for the next month or so, I'm just going to concentrate on some of these reports, some of these sightings, a lot of field work. I've been doing a lot of field work. And if you guys are out, be careful. I've got into a bunch of seed ticks over the weekend, and you want to talk about horrible. So make sure you protect yourself against that stuff if you're out in the woods. Snakes are bad this year, too.
And chiggers. Watch out for chiggers, right?
Yep. Chiggers are bad, too. Yep. They're just as bad as this. They're not worse than this. Old seed ticks.
Yeah, they're terrible. So, thanks. That's great. All right, Tim, what are you – you got anything going on the next little while you'd like to share with us?
Well, you can find me at the Georgia Bigfoot channel on YouTube. And I film whenever I'm finding something worthwhile to share. I'm always doing videos. So, and I'm not going away. So, in other words, I'll keep pushing.
Excellent. Great.
Until the end.
Great.
Until the end, right? You'll keep pushing until the end.
I'm not going away. I'm pushing for the truth. So, because someone's got to say it. So there you go.
That's exactly right. Well, thanks a lot. And we really appreciate having you here on our show today. And as far Cherokee Legends Comic-Con will be August the 23rd through the 25th. We will have the Georgia Bigfoot Conference October 18th through the 20th. The next weekend will be the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. And Matt, I've got a new one for you to put on your calendar. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, great. The South Carolina Bigfoot Conference will be held January 18th, 2020 at Aiken Technical College in Aiken, South Carolina. And this is the first time in the history of the United States that a Bigfoot conference has been held at an accredited learning institution. And I can't thank anyone any more than Patricia Whitfield and all those folks at Aiken Technical College that want the South Carolina Bigfoot Conference there. It's going to be on Saturday. That is Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. Thank you, Dr. King, for everything that you did in presenting us with this wonderful holiday that we can have the South Carolina Bigfoot Conference. Matt, I got to ask you, will you be one of the keynote speakers?
I will.
Okay, good. Well, that's just, it's just so simple, isn't it? That's great. So, yeah, we've got a lot of great things going on here. I want to thank both of you. Truly, I love doing Bigfoot and Company. And Matt, you know, you're kind of one of my inspirations here to keep this thing going and to make it great. Because, you know, we have a lot of listeners. We had like 80-some listeners just in the last 2 days from last week's Bigfoot and Company. And I do want to thank Martin Johnston from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, for being our audio engineer and getting these things out. We want to thank Mark because he's just a great guy. And
yeah,
we want to wish...
Mark is great.
Yeah, he is. And we want to wish Jackson Samuel the best as he goes through some medical treatment. Right, Matt?
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, we want to wish him well. So everybody, Jackson Samuel, he's from Australia. Go on to Facebook, send him a well wish, and tell him to get well because we want him back. He's a great guy. So I want to say thank you to everybody. We will see you next week. We will be back. Now, Matt, are we back on Monday or Tuesday next week at 3 p.m. on Bigfoot and Company? That's our summer time because of my work. Are we back Monday or Tuesday? Which one?
I'm not sure yet. I'll have to look and see schedule. Probably, more than likely, probably Monday. But
okay, I'll let you know, and we'll get it scheduled. But we'll never miss a week right here on Bigfoot and Company.
Yeah.
See you guys. Tim, thank you very much. And Tim, we'll be talking to you soon. You take care, Matt. Take care, and bye, everybody.
Bye.